of the land of slaves, the land of soul, and we will build a stereo.
Hi, I'm Father Roderick from the StarQuest Production Network at sqpn.com.
Hi, I'm Lucy in the Sky from LaSalle, Ontario.
Hi, I'm Northern Penguin from Georgetown.
Hi, I'm Team Legend 4 from Roseville, Michigan.
Hi, I'm Rez 2100 from Georgetown, Ontario.
Hi, I'm Team Legend 4 from Roseville, Michigan.
And you're listening to the Ontario Geocaching Podcast.
Welcome to the 8th episode of the Ontario Geocaching Podcast, coming to you from the Steel City on the shores of Lake Ontario. Hi, I'm Gerbear, and I'll be your host for this podcast, all about geocaching in and around the province of Ontario. Just for a note on programming, what I'm going to be doing this show is I'm going to be talking a little bit about the Greater Toronto Geobash. Specifically, I had a couple of interviews with Blue Quasar, so I'm going to run those. First interview is just about Blue Quasar himself. And the second interview, Blue Quasar, talks about waymarking.
Here, the Blue Quasar, and where are you from?
From St. Catharines.
Uh-huh. And geocaching, when did you start that?
I signed up for my account in late 2001, but I didn't find my first cache until early 2002. Back at that time, I'd been collecting comic books of Quasar from Marvel Comics, and I needed a new name, so unfortunately that name was already taken, so I just put Blue in front of it, and it just kind of stuck that way. I'm using a Garmin GPS 60CS. Yeah, I've always used Garmin. I do a combination of paperless when my pocket PC is working. I also just transfer stuff straight into my GPS.
And what do you like most about geocaching?
Getting out and hiking in the woods. Most of the geocaching I do is in the Golden Horseshoe area. I have gone down to Ohio, Pennsylvania for some. What place have I liked best? Well, Algonquin, of course.
Uh-huh.
But anything along the Niagara Escarpment is really excellent.
Yeah. And you get a lot of exercise out of that, too.
Definitely.
Do you like caching alone with a friend or family in a group?
It really depends on the mood. Sometimes you just got to get out on your own or to walk the dog, but sometimes it's really fun to be social and go with a bunch of friends. What I like most about geocaching is getting outside and getting some fresh air and walking in the woods, but it is nice to, you know, meet up with other people at events, too. I am also a volunteer Groundspeak reviewer for geocaching.
How much time does that take in a week?
I'd probably say about 12 to 15 hours a week. Groundspeak doesn't actually have rules per se, it's more of guidelines.
Yeah.
We have a lot of flexibility on how it is addressed,
uh-huh.
But there's some things like the commercial guideline is pretty much a rule set in stone. It requires
uh-huh.
their permission, but a lot of the guidelines are pretty flexible, and we're more than happy to work with people to try
yeah.
to find a way, because really we are here to get them published. We want caches published so people can enjoy the game. I'm also the head of the Ontario Geocaching Association.
Well, thanks a lot for the interview.
My pleasure, anytime.
In the second interview, Blue Quasar talks about waymarking.
Okay, we're here with Blue Quasar, and we're going to talk about waymarking.
What would you like to know about waymarking?
What's it all about?
Waymarking is the attempt to replace the virtual cache and locationless cache that was pretty much grandfathered in 2005 by Groundspeak. Back then, people were wanting to be able to explore new ways of bringing people to see points of interest and being able to write them up in a way that was interesting and educational. It was very hard back in the days of the virtual cache to determine the wow factor, as it was called. And this opened it up to allow people to be able to decide what they were interested in, as opposed to when it was a virtual cache where it could have been anything. Now everything is categorized and compartmentalized to say, if I'm interested in historic sites, they're in this section. If I'm interested in historic plaques, they're in here. If I'm interested in tall towers, they're here. Anything, train stations, all kinds of variety. And basically, if there's something that you're interested in, it either already exists or you're willing or you're able to make it.
So where would you go to find that? Is there a website?
Yes, Groundspeak operates a second website called waymarking.com.
Mm-hmm.
Your Groundspeak membership that works for geocaching also works on waymarking,
mm-hmm.
and you just sign in the same way there.
Well, that's neat. I know there was a big outcry when they got rid of the virtuals, right?
There was definitely a big outcry when they got rid of virtuals. A lot of people don't remember all of the problems that happened with virtuals. It started off one way, then it changed to another way, then it changed again. And everybody wants to remember the way they wanted it to be, but The new system with waymarking actually is a much more encompassing method. That way everybody can have what they want, and they can also ignore what they don't want. The categorization and the tools that are available through waymarking definitely allow you to tailor it to your personal experience and your personal enjoyment level. If you like something, you can bring them up instantly. If you don't like something, you can actually say, ignore this entire category. It's actually very similar to the geocaching process. You create your waymark listing just like you would do a geocache listing. It is sent off to a group of reviewers that have expertise in that area, and they would look it over to make sure it meets the requirements for the category. Basically, it's just a general description along with a photograph of the area, and encourage people to come and see it. As of 2 months ago, there was more than 100,000 unique waymarks listed across the world. Waymarking has been growing in leaps and bounds over the past 2 years, and it's just snowballing. There is quite the photography aspect to it, especially when it comes to, you know, points of interest, and you really want to market your waymark well. Like, it's not like a geocache where you're bringing somebody to any spot. You want to show off why you want to come and see this. Uh-huh. And definitely adding photography is almost a requirement, but it's not always.
Yeah. And with regards to permission?
When it comes to waymarking and permissions to take photographs or even to record the coordinate data for a location, the rule of thumb is actually local laws apply. For the most part, any location can be waymarked, unlike with geocaching where you have to, you know, receive permission to place your physical item. If the public is allowed to be at this spot, you can waymark it. There's a lot of places where you can take pictures, like right from the public sidewalk. You can take a picture of almost anything you want. Mm-hmm. You can write up any description just like you would any other normal website.
What about icons?
Waymarking actually has a much more advanced system of icons for its categories. Every category has its own unique icon. So the people that love to collect icons on geocaching, because realistically there's only about 15 you can collect unless you get into travel bugs. With waymarking, I've got well over 300 different icons in my profile. It's a challenge to try to fill up and get, you know, collect more and more icons. Uh-huh. It also opens your exposure to other things that you might not have been aware of. You know, if I'm looking, if a new category comes up and says, you know, relocated train stations, I'll go look for one so I can get that icon. It increases my awareness of what's around me.
So it does take you to places that you probably wouldn't normally go to.
It does take you to places you don't know about, and it also gives you a, hey, there's something I do know about and I'd like to share with other people. Right now, waymarking is in a build strategy. It's not really in a an activity strategy yet, so they're wanting to create a database full of entries. Waymarking hasn't caught on quite as quickly as geocaching is right now.
Uh-huh.
If we went back 6 years ago when geocaching started, that's pretty much where we are with waymarking.
Mm-hmm.
It's just getting underway and people are starting to discover it, but a lot of people are already well established into their geocaching, so it does apply to geocaching, but it also is for a different set of people that don't really want to go hiking in the woods. They just want to be shown interesting things that they can visit.
Beautiful. And are there any links in the Ontario Geocaching Association website to waymarking, or any other links that might be available to the listeners?
Right now, we don't actually support waymarking on the geocaching site that Ontario Geocaching Association hosts, just because we want to focus primarily on geocaching. But if
right.
anyone has any questions about waymarking, they can always write to me through my account at either OGA Admin or through the Blue Quasar. Some of the things that the Ontario Geocaching website hosts are we keep a copy of all of the policies for whether it be Niagara Peninsula Conservation Authority, Parks Canada, Ontario Parks, Hamilton Conservation Authority. We're about to have one for Halton Conservation Authority. So when we are made aware of a policy for a specific land area, we like to host that for our members.
Right.
We also have fun activities. We have a photo contest, Cacher of the Month. We have milestones, and we also have some items for sale, like pins and patches and T-shirts. Generally, we like to just have a fun location for people that are in the Ontario area to come and participate in.
And what's the name of that website?
Our website for the Ontario Geocaching Association is www.ontgeocaching.com. Basically, it's ontgeocaching.com.
Cool. Thanks a lot.
My pleasure. Anytime.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Ontario Geocaching Podcast. You can send feedback, including audio files, to ontariogeocaching@gmail.com. This podcast is fueled by TH and is copyrighted under Creative Commons Attribution 2.5 License Canada. Just want to leave you with a few northern sounds. And also, I want to just give you a preview of next show. I'm going to be talking about the Midwest Geobash 2008 that I attended just a short while ago in Kendallville, Indiana. And I had the opportunity there to meet Tracy from TNT Geocoins. She's the other half of Tank and Tracy. You can find their website at TNT Geocoins. And they sell a variety of geocoins, buttons, etc. And in the upcoming show, I'm going to give away a few of their items. One is a first-of-fine Celtic knot geocoin. One is in gold and the other's black. And also, I'll be giving away a geocoin. It's not all about the numbers, contrary to what I'm talking about sometimes. So those are going to be giveaways, and I'll let you know how you can qualify to receive one of those unactivated geocoins. So I'll leave you with the sounds of the north. Take care and see you next show. Thank you. So for those of you who've never been up north, the sounds that you just heard were bullfrogs in the bay, a northern forest with a nice gentle wind, and lakeside at a northern Ontario lake. So I look forward to talking to you next show. Take care, and looking forward to the coins giveaway. Again, you can reach me at OntarioGeocaching@gmail.com or look me up on Facebook under Jerry Prevost, G-E-R-R-Y-P-R-E-V-O-S-T. Take care. Bye-bye.